I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share.
So hey everybody, this is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontlines, your national movement building show, Wake Up and Smell the Revolution. We are really excited because on Saturday, April 20th and Sunday, April 21st, all day, the Strategy Center is going to be part of the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books. We were there last year and we did phenomenal. Well, we never did it before and nobody knew us. And we had this beautiful booth that Channing Martinez and the team set up. We have about 70 books that we have out to the public. And our booth was jammed from the morning to night. Now, what we didn't understand, of course, is 150,000 people who are going to come, including you, from all over the world, really, and all over the country. People who love books. Now, we need you to come to the Strategy and Soul bookstore at the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books. What's the section we're in, Channing?
In the purple section in booth number 241.
All right, remember that, purple 241. So we'll do the next two shows on the book fair because we got to get you to come. I just want to put my cards on the table. Channing and I spent so much work on this show. And I'm asking you, you have any time you want to come to USC on all day Saturday and all day Sunday. Yes, to get books from our bookstore. And we need to have 5, 10, 25 members of Voices from the Frontlines listeners to come by and visit our station and say, hey, I'm a Voices listener. I love the show. I'm here to get some books, and I'm here to support the Strategy Center and Voices from the Frontlines. So put it in your calendar already. I mean, you can't say you can't make it because it's any time on a Saturday and Sunday, which is great. So let me try to help tell you what we're trying to do.
And just before you do that, to make sure you have all the detailed information, again, it's at University of Southern California, booth number 241 in the purple section. That is right on Trosdale Avenue. That is the main thoroughway in the USC campus that's right off the expo line. And it's April 20th and 21st from 10 a.m. to about 6 p.m., all day Saturday, all day Sunday. We look forward to seeing you there.
And we're going to have Strategy and Soul t-shirts for you to get. We're going to have books. We're going to have memberships to the Strategy and Soul and Strategy Center. We're going to have cards and all our demands on it. We're going to have people. And we really need to meet you. I mean, some amazing people have come by. One guy came by and said, I knew you from Columbia University in 1968. Another guy has been very nice trying to get me to, I take it seriously, hypnosis with them. I'm not sure I will, but he's been really reaching out to me in a very positive way. Okay, so how do we start? First thing to understand is that when we started the Strategy Center, when we moved to South Central, we came up with the idea of a Strategy and Soul Movement Center. And that vision was myself, Manuel Criollo, Channing Martinez, Barbara Lett-Holland. We wanted to do something that combined organizing with culture, with intellect, and I think we're the only movement group I know that has a bookstore, a full bookstore, and a film theater. But I've been very fortunate because I'm what's called the curator of the bookstore, which means that I'm mainly the person who chooses the books. And it's a very carefully orchestrated tapestry of books. You know, it's like hard to get in. And all the books are amazing. I'm just going to read, starting with, I'm just going to go from A to Z, and I'll stop at about 10, and then I'll talk and I'll read you some more books. So A Dying Colonialism by Franz Fanon, A Nation Within a Nation, Amiri Baraka and the Rise of Black Power Politics by Kamosi Woodard, A Raising the Sun by the amazing Lorraine Hansberry, A Socialist Defector by Victor Grossman and Stephen Wexler, Accessory to War, Neil deGrasse Tyson and Avis Lan. You didn't know that Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's black, and his father, Cyril Tyson, I knew, knew everybody. He was the head of the poverty program in Newark. And Neil deGrasse Tyson went to Cornell, where I went. But you know him as the most amazing popular astronomer. But this is a book talking about Accessory to War, how all the work on astronomy was taken over by the Defense Department in order to kill the Russian and Chinese people. So, great book. Oh, good. Addicted to War, Why the U.S. Can't Kick Militarism by Joel Andreas. An Indigenous People's History of the United States by my old friend, Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz. Apartheid American City by my old friend, Cynthia Hamilton, who helped to form the Strategy Center. This is an amazing pamphlet we have. Sells a lot of them. You talk about prescient. This book was written about a year before the Strategy Center was formed. And it's called Apartheid in American City, a case study of South Central Los Angeles. In it, her punchline is, from a capitalist point of view, the property is very valuable, but the people are not. And she sets the whole basis for the gentrification and assault on the black community. That's what, 36 years later. The book, its pamphlet still sells out, and please get it. I mean, it's like prescient means you read it, and it could be 100 years ago or 100 years from now. And you say, how did she get that? How did she nail that? So, Cynthia, if you're listening, thank you for helping me start the Strategy Center. And we still super support your work. Now, August Wilson, The Century Cycle, the 10 books, 10 book box sets. Now, this is $500. But if you ever want to give somebody the greatest gift in the world, you imagine, you know, August Wilson did 10 books. And, you know, we have The Piano Lesson, which we'll talk about, Fences, and, you know, so many others. But the point is, imagine a 10 book box set. It's just like the most amazing thing. His last book, I think Fences was his last play. I'm not sure if that's right. He was dying of cancer, and he was in massive pain. And his wife said, you know, you can even have the last 3 months of your life in relative ease if you want to finish the last play. Well, you know, August Wilson, that wasn't a question. So he finished his last play and then died. We love August Wilson's work, and you'll see several individual titles as well as the 10-book box set. Batacoon, The Study of the Last Black Cargo by Nora Zeal Hurston. This is amazing because this is an oral history with an enslaved African, the last enslaved African. Black Against Empire, The History and Politics of the Black Panther Party, Joshua Bloom and Waldo E. Martin Jr. You know, you knew about the Panthers. The Panthers were, and this is a part of my book I'm working on now called We Made the Revolution with Our Bodies on the Line, a journey of a core SDS and UAW organizer, is the real issue of the black anti-imperialist tradition. That's what the bookstore is about. That's what my life is about. Back then, it was called Civil Rights and Ending the War in Vietnam. That seemed okay. But what kind of country would enslave Africans in 1964 still? And what kind of country would drop napalm and kill 4 million Vietnamese in their own country? It's not the war in Vietnam. It's the U.S. genocide against the people of Vietnam. It didn't take long to realize that we thought the United States was an imperialist, Christian, fascist, misogynistic, racist, imperialist white settler state. But the problem is, you can call it all the nasty words you want, but how are you going to change it? Which is why we have a bookstore. So, you know, I say it, voices, there's voices for the front lines. I'm begging you to get your front line over to USC and spend some time with us at the store. Now, I'm going to keep reading titles, but I want to take a break. I've been looking at all the amazing books. So here's this amazing book called The Black Jacobins, Toussaint Louverture and the Santo Domingo Revolution by the great C.L. James. Now, right now I'm reading, I'm always reading, like Leanne said, you're a voracious reader. So I'm reading The Wretched of the Earth, which, if you can imagine, I've never fully read cover to cover. And it's sensational. I'm going to read you something from there. But the thing about great writers like Walter Rodney, Franz Fanon, Theodore James, is their understanding of psychology and the internalized oppression and contradictions of colonialism. They don't just say it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. They talk about the impact of colonialism on the psyche of the oppressed and what murderers, what absolute murderers the British are, French are. All of Britain should be put in a concentration camp, all of France, and a nice one, you know, like just, I mean, every European should serve 2 years in prison. That's the only way I can figure out how to even repent for the unrepentable sins. And I mean that as something I want to really think about, especially since I served my 18 months, so I only have to serve six more. But I want you to listen to this for a minute. This is C.L.R. James. The chapter is called The War of Independence. Now, the defeat of Toussaint in the War of Independence, which means their great revolution of 1793-1795, eventually was beaten back, and his imprisonment and death in Europe are universally looked upon as a tragedy. They contain authentic elements of the tragic. Now, even at the height of the war, Toussaint strove to maintain the French connection as necessary to Haiti, its long and difficult climb to civilization. Convinced that slavery could never be restored in San Domingo, he was equally convinced that a population of slaves recently landed from Africa could not attain to civilization by going it alone. His tergiversations, which I don't know what it means, his inability to take the firm and realistic decision, which so distinguished his career, have become the complete expression of his personality. As we watch his blunders and the inevitable catastrophe, we have always to remember that here is no conflict of the insoluble dilemmas of the human condition, no division of a personality which can find itself only in its striving for the unattainable. Toussaint was a whole man. The man into which the French Revolution had made him demanded that the relationship with the friends of liberty, equality, fraternity, and the abolition of slavery without a debate should be maintained. What revolutionary France signified was perpetually on his lips in public statements, in his correspondence, in the spontaneous intimacy of private conversations. To him was the highest stage of social existence that he could imagine. Was not only a framework of his mind. No one else was so conscious of its practical necessity in the social backwardness and primitive conditions of life around him. Being the man he was, by nature, and by a range and intensity of new experiences, such as given to few, that is the way he saw the world in which he lived. His unrealistic attitude to the former masters at home and abroad sprang not from any abstract humanitarianism or loyalty, but a recognition that they alone had what San Domingo society needed. He believed that he could handle them. It's not improbable that he could have done it. He was in a situation strictly comparable to that of the greatest of all American statesmen, Abraham Lincoln, in 1865, if the thing could be done at all. He alone could do it. Lincoln was not allowed to try. Toussaint fought desperately for the right to try. I'm going to go on, but let me talk what he's saying here. I mean, this is you know, it's mind-blowing for me to read it. What he's saying is that, you know, the French Revolution of 1789 brought up great aspirations in the mind of Toussaint Louverture, who was very a slave, enslaved African, but he was very influenced by what he thought was the French Revolution. He had no idea that the French Revolution meant imperialism, you know, revolution for the Europeans and genocide for the Africans and West Indians. But what Theodore James is saying is this was not just a false loyalty or confusion. It was conscious. He believed that something what France had developed, the so-called French civilization, was needed to come in to San Domingo to help the Haitian Revolution, because the French had the structure, they had the conceptual framework, the institutional framework, and he didn't believe that he could build the revolution from scratch. And as it says, he thought he could handle it. He sort of thought he could defeat the French and then bring them in under his leadership and split the atom or something, or unify the atom. The point of this is, it's great writing. It's beyond my opinion of what's true as much as it's a brilliant insight. And as he said, just like Abraham Lincoln, you know, who is a very important historical figure and a good one, Abraham Lincoln saw the contradiction in U.S. capitalism. He understood the racist South. He felt he somehow had to bring the racist South back into the Union under Union control, free the enslaved Africans, and build a democracy, including suppressing the South with military troops. And as he said, he was never given the chance to try because he was assassinated, and the South rose again. So this is what I'm getting to, is this is just a great character sketch. I'm going to read a little bit more, also because the writing is so damn good. If he was convinced that San Domingo would decay without the benefits of the French connection, he was equally certain that slavery could never be restored. Between the two certainties, he, in whom penetrating vision and prompt decision had become second nature, became the embodiment of vacillation. That's to say, he's normally a very fast thinker, but here he's confused. His allegiance to the French Revolution and all it opened out for mankind in general, and the people of San Domingo in particular, this had made him who he was. But this in the end ruined him, because for him to have expected more than the bare freedom was too much for the time. With that alone, Dessalines was satisfied. Apparently Dessalines is another general in this army on his side. And perhaps the proof that freedom alone was possible lies in the fact that to ensure it, Dessalines, that faithful adjutant, had to see that Toussaint was removed from the scene. Toussaint was attempting the impossible that was for him the only reality that mattered. The realities to which the historians condemn will at times simplify the tragic alternatives with which he is faced. But these factual statements and the judgments they demand must not be allowed to obscure or minimize the truly tragic character of his dilemma, one of the most remarkable which there is an authentic historical record. Now, you know, I'm working on this book, We Made the Revolution with Our Bodies on the Line, and I'm working as a historian, and I'm trying to put together all the thoughts of before I go on, this is Eric Mann. You're in KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and you got to come to USC on Saturday, April 20th, and Sunday, April 21st, from 10 to 6, at Booth Purple 241. So you got to see us and get a copy of The Black Jacobins. So I'm writing actual history. I'm writing like a history of the Congress of Racial Equality. I'm writing a history of the Students for Democratic Society. Every chapter is a history. very complicated, beyond complicated to understand. What were the conditions at the time? What were the theories at the time? What were people trying to figure out? Who were the personalities? What were their conflicts? What were the external pressures? What were the great breakthroughs? What were the organizational tensions? How do human beings even work in a collective context? What were the internal contradictions again? Did the system exploit those contradictions? How did SDS move forward through the resolution or advancement of contradiction? How did it eventually disintegrate? And most things do. So one thing in reading this, I'm realizing the Russians realized when they had their revolution that we are not ambivalent. We are keeping out all the Europeans. And we're going to have a dictatorship of the proletariat. We're going to seize state power. We're going to have our own army, our own military. And we can't expect France, which I, in fact, had a very big role in Russia at the time, or the Russian monarchy to come back. So the best thing about this, and it would make me, of course, after I finish The Wretch of the Earth, I'm going to read this one, Manuel Criollo's Read It Cover to Cover, is that books allow you to sit and be quiet with yourself, like with Fanon, I must read this sections over and over and over again. If I'm on Audible, I play them back a couple of times to make sure I get them right. Books are wonderful. You know, books are a place where you can be by yourself with your own thoughts, take notes, make you think about what I'd like to do with my life. We don't have that tradition anymore for most people in the movement, and we need you to help us rebuild. Any thoughts, Jane, on where I'm going so far?
I mean, first of all, we don't read very much, so you having read that on the air, I think, is pretty powerful. And I know I'm sort of engineering, so I know I want to go back and listen to it in more detail. But, you know, it's, I mean, what he's doing in that section is he is really trying to understand the whole lay of the land, which I don't think that we fully, a lot of, you know, young organizers understand fully the lay of the land of what we're really speaking into. I mean, for him to say this general is believes in this and they're trying to make this move and Toussaint is trying to organize in this way and move this idea forward, right? Really talking a lot about, to put more specifics on it, I think Robin called it freedom dreaming, right? And that whole section of where he talks about the idea that what he wants to accomplish is both, how did he say it? It's unacceptable by the colonialists. It can't even be accepted as a legitimate idea by them. And they think it's impossible. And it's the only thing that has to be possible. That whole dynamic, I think, is so interesting. And it is, as you say, as always, the battle of ideas is what he's talking about in that little passage. So I think it's really beautiful.
Yeah, I think what, you know, I don't know what Dessel means yet in the argument, but I think what it's saying is one person said, look, let's just get independence and go back as being part of the French. And what we're going to get is formal independence. Toussaint said, no, we want formal independence and the end of slavery. So, you know, both are legitimate arguments, by the way. That's another thing to learn is that everything's based on time, place, and conditions. But as C.L.R. James said, it was the only pursuit of the, what seemed the impossible was the only thing that really should have been fought for. So, folks, that's one of the great books you're going to get. We have a lot of great books about women, a whole women's I want to read to you about. I'm starting this book, Caliban and the Witch, Women, the Body and Primitive Stimulation by Sylvia Federici, which is great. About halfway through it. It's a lot about the attacks on women in the so-called Middle Ages and the beginning of taking women out of a relatively, if not equal, situation into, as soon as private property was created, how the woman was forced into complete subservience, and a lot of stuff about the creating of witches to break the concept of witches, to break the back of any woman who had any independence and didn't want to be part of the male-dominated patriarchal dictatorship. Grandpa Stops the War, a Paul Robeson story by Susan Robeson, one of my favorites. It's a children's book, and I'm going to go to the children's books in a minute.
Can I just say one thing about Caliban is that when we got it during COVID, and one of our members was telling me a little bit about it, and they were really like profoundly moved that we had it, and it's everything you said, and the connection. I mean, I see the connection between CLR James and this, right? Is, you know, the idea of CLR talking about the impossible has to be the plan, and Caliban and the witch. The moment you start hearing about all the details and really reading it, you really see how all of that, the legacy of witch hunts, still exists today. And we don't call it that anymore. And it's so normalized. The whole violence against women is so normalized in such a way that I feel like Caliban and the witch will have you re-questioning, as we should, the role of women in society and the movement, and how, you know, even we as men, like, you know, I want to read it to reflect on and make sure I'm not putting out, you know, those sort of politics and not behaving in those sort of ways, right? And doing as much as we can to support women's rights. So just want to say that.
No, it's great. I mean, folks, so this is the kind of intellectual life we have at the Strategy Center. Want you to come out and sit down with us, and yes, if you so choose, purchase, you know, a lot of books. Books are amazing gifts for schools. Sit around and, you know, get a collection of different books. Yeah, and by the way, the term witch hunt is still used, Jenny. It's used, it was used during the 50s against communists, that I say a witch hunt was now more broadly used to go after anybody who dissents that the system tries to crush. But what you're right about is specifically been an attack on strong women to break the back. And I think it's great to say, I want to read a book, which I do too, about, I want to make sure I'm not being the person who they're describing in the book, you know, and that's really cool. So I'm going to take a couple more women's titles here. Let's see what we got here. Left of Karl Marx, The Political Life of the Black Communist Claudia Jones by Carol Boyce Davies. It's important to understand that revolutionary feminism has a lot of faces. And for a lot of black women, they chose to be communists and feminists. Or as the late Pat Elmer said, I'm a feminist, Buddhist, communist, and black nationalist. And the fact that all those things can be a multiple set of identities and integrated philosophy is that a lot of these books here that we have are by black women who chose to be communist, but also wanted to continue to struggle against patriarchy in the whole society, and also patriarchy in the movement. So then we go to Letters from Langston by Evelyn Louise Todd Crawford and Mary Louise Patterson. Louise Patterson, a great book, A Life of Struggle for Justice by Keith Gilliard. I'm going to stay on women's titles for a minute. Race Woman, The Lives of Shirley Graham Du Bois by Gerald Horn. The Black Woman, an anthology by Tony K. Bambara. Warrior Poet, a biography of Audre Lorde. And also we have the Audre Lorde Selected Works. So Women, Class, and Race by Angela Davis. So you get it. We take the struggle of black women, third world women, and all women, very serious. It's a big part of our choices in the bookstore. So take a minute now. Take a pencil. You remember those, pencil. Go into your phone and write down Saturday, April 20th, Sunday, April 21st. How can they get more information on the book fair and even order books if they want to order now in advance?
Sure. You can go to thestrategycenter.org or go directly to strategyandsoulbooks.com and you'll get right on to the bookstore. And in every section of the website, I hope I did every section. There's a banner that says we're coming to the LA Times Festival of Books, so you can't miss it, even if you, you know, we're I got to give capitalism a good, you know, I have to give them a good vote of confidence. When you're rolling down the street and you see a billboard about the military and you hate the military, by the time you finish saying that statement, you've already internalized the banner. And so we're trying to mimic that, right? By the time you even click on the website, oh, Festival of Books. Oh, they're going to be at Festival of Books. So you better know it.
And are we in a position that we have a plan for group purchases? Can we talk about it now?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what we're coming up with is this is just a proposal, if anybody's interested. If will you find it if you go online, the specific proposal? The concept is, well, I can say the concept. If your organization wants to, for $500, you become a sponsor of the book fair for the Strategy Center, and you get 10 books for your members. So you'll work out with Channing, and when they show up, there'll be a barcode, and they'll pick any book they want. For $1,000, you get 22 books. And that's pretty cool. And you help us because it pretty much just covers the cost of the books and all the work we're going to do to get there. But imagine if you have a group and you say, hey, let's meet us at the Purple 241 Saturday at 3. And when we get there, we'll have 10 books or 21 books, 22. And you can go and pick any book you want. And somehow explain how it's going to work, Channing, because that's what you do.
Not ready to explain that yet, but we will be sending emails and it will be on our website by the time this show airs.
Okay, cool. So the point is, you get it. You go on, you say, hey, I want to help you guys. Here's $500. In return, I get 10 books, any choice I want. And we could even have it for you at the bookstore later. 3546. You get what we're saying, folks. This is an entire show about books and literature and women and black people and revolution. But, you know, with the closing of Essawan Books, you know, God, one of my first books came out in Dispatches from Durban. I'm going to read you from. You know, we had a wonderful book signing at Essawan. And we were very friendly with James and the whole team there on, Essawan was amazing. And we're right there. We're on 3546, right near Crenshaw and McClung on King. Our bookstore is different. They have the broadest range of black titles, including great political titles. We're more like a 75 to 100 bookstore where every single book is what we call all the great books you got to read in a lifetime. Now, I've had a long lifetime already, and I'm not finished, so that incentivized me to live a lot longer because I'm determined to read every single book in that bookstore before I pass. So,
go ahead. I know you already mentioned her name, but I feel like having Googled her, Claudia Jones, and seeing that we're one of only three or four places that you can get the book in the entire country.
Wow.
You know, that's serious, right? I mean, it's part of the struggle that we're trying to preserve a lot of intellectual life of our movement. And just a little bit about Claudia Jones, that she was born in 1915 and she's Trinidadian and moved to New York. And as the title suggests, which I think we talk about a lot, is in some ways, both I think she and we deeply respect Marxism and Lenin. But then she takes it to a whole nother step by including gender and race. And I know that's not always a conversation folks want to have, right? But, you know, when I think about Marx, you know, they were doing great work, but they were also, you know, quite frankly, organizing white workers inside of Europe. And so this book's, you know, the beauty of this book is both Carol, I'm sorry, forgot her name for a moment, examines Marxism, Leninism, but then it does, you know, talk about what are the politics of race and how does that play into white settler colonialism, which I think is just amazing.
Thanks. Yeah, the name of the book again is two. One is called Left of Karl Marx, The Political Life of Black Communists, Claudia Jones by Carol Boyce Davies. I'm really happy to talk about another book that I love. It's called The Black Woman, edited by Tony K. Bambara. You know, I went back to check if I was hallucinating, but yeah, the book came out in 1970, and I was in prison from January 1970 to July 1971. And I remember reading this book in prison, and it's an amazing book. I want to make sure that I can have enough time to read this section, but it's got like one poem by Nikki Giovanni, two poems by Nikki Giovanni, Naturally by Audre Lorde, two by Audre Lorde, Diary of an African Nun by Alice Walker. It's just unbelievable. Black Pride, Some Contradictions. It's got about 30 or 40 essays. So it really raised my consciousness because there were 30 or 40 Black women talking about feminism. So there's a very important person and article. Her name was Frances Beale. She was one of the founders of the Third World Women's Alliance, trying to figure out the relationship of, you know, class, of race, class, and gender. So she has this wonderful article called Double Jeopardy, to be Black and Female. So I'm going to read the end of it to make sure I have enough time. And if I go backwards, more time. So it's called The New World. This is Double Jeopardy, to be Black and Female by Frances Beale in the book The Black Woman. She said, the Black community and Black women especially must be raising questions about the kind of society we wish to see established. We must note the ways in which capitalism oppresses us and then move to create institutions that will eliminate these destructive influences. This will mean changing the traditional routines that have established as a result of living in a totally corrupting society. It means changing how you relate to your wife, your husband, your parents, and your coworkers. If we're to liberate ourselves as a people, we must be recognized that Black women have very specific problems that have to be spoken to. We must be liberated along with the rest of the population. We cannot wait to start working on those problems until that great day in the future when the revolution somehow miraculously is accomplished. To assign women the role of housekeeper and mother while men go forth into battle is a highly questionable doctrine for a revolutionary to maintain. Each individual must develop a high political consciousness in order to understand how the system enslaves us all and what actions we must take to bring about its total destruction. Those who consider themselves to be revolutionary must begin to deal with other revolutionaries as equals. And so far as I know, revolutionaries are not determined by sex. All the resources that the Black community can muster up must be channeled into the struggle. Black women must take an active part in bringing about the kind of society where our children, our loved ones, and each citizen can grow up and live as decent human beings, free from the pressures of racism and capitalist exploitation. It's a deep essay. I'm just going to quickly, in the last minute, just read you some more names. Poor Black Women's Study Papers by Pat Robinson. Historical and Critical Essay for Black Women in the Cities Pat Robinson and Group. The Black Revolution in America by Grace Lee Boggs. Looking Back by Helen Kane Bradham. What I'm getting to is, I'm thinking about the play The Great White Hope by Toni Shade. Books, books, books. All these brilliant Black woman thinkers. Come on out to the book fair. We have lots of copies of The Black Woman by Toni K. Bambara. Thanks a lot, Jenny, for working with me. And this is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontlines. You're on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. Always make a contribution to the KPFK at 818-985-5735 because Jenny and I have the gift of having a radio show, but that's because there's a station called KPFK. So the station, as I always say, it's hard to say that the station's always in dire need, but that's the truth. And therefore, a $10 contribution, a $25, $100 contribution, $250 contribution is essential to the life of the station. And 818-985-5735. Channing, you want to talk about giving money to KPFK, and then we'll get back to the book fair.
Absolutely. Call 818-985-5735 right now. You know, I think that Voices from the Frontlines has been on fire, and we've been waking you up with revolution. But obviously, we want to hear from you, and you can email us at Eric or Channing at voicesfromthefrontlines.com. But as we continue to read books and as we continue to watch the whole political scene and as we continue to watch films, it's, you know, at least in my moment of time in the movement, it's becoming apparent more rapidly that, you know, everything we're doing is becoming and will become contraband. And so the most we can do, I mean, the least we can do is try to support everything that we got. And, you know, with KPFK, that does start with you giving a contribution by calling 818-985-5735. And when we invite folks on the show, doing whatever you can, whatever their ask is, you know, it's your choice, obviously. I can't tell you to do it because this is public radio. But, you know, obviously our opinion is that it's our duty to strongly support social movements.
Yeah, to say that for a minute, you know, I tell people at the center, it's always important to say yes. If anybody, I mean, people call me up and they have a cause. And let's say I don't, it's not that I don't love the cause, it's not my highest priority. But I'm talking to a real person. And she's doing really good work. She wants to save the whales, or which I think is really important, by the way. Or she wants to stop redlining, or whatever. Why does it hurt to give her $5 and say thanks? Sure. Why say, well, that's not my priority? There's some groups I'll give $100 to. There's KPFK, I'll give $250. But we have to learn the culture of yes, because everybody is out there. Need, it's so important psychologically. I mean, people are so happy when you, I'll buy your book, or I'll do this, but never walk by and say, well, I don't know. So it means a lot to say yes and come out to USC Saturday, April 20th, and Sunday, April 21st, Booth Purple 241. Channing will be there pretty much all day, both days. I'll be there. Leanne Hurston, I'll be there some of the time. Manalati Walker, very cool person you got to meet. She's the manager of a bookstore. Makuna Uka, very cool person you got to meet. She's the director of volunteer programs. And you're a very cool person who we want to meet. So let's make it happen. Let's say yes. And we need it. Let's be very clear. We need this. So I'm going to end with a couple of thoughts. I want to just read you the children's titles. And I'm going to read you something from my book for Progressive. You know, I've been working on the women's section a lot, and I'm working on the children's section a lot. If you bring your kids, obviously, to bring the culture of reading, we have so many great books, and we've been working on all these different multi racial towels. Ancestors Approved Intertribal Stories for Kids by Cynthia Leafs. I'm sorry, Lettice Smith. Asian Americans from A to Z. Homeland about Palestine. Tara Beach by Faith Dringo. Surue by Lupita Nyong'o. The Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats. Watsons Go to Birmingham by Christopher Paul Curtis. Grandpa Stops the War, Paul Robeson's story. Paul Robeson's story by Susan Robeson. Harlem Renaissance Party by Faith Dringo. Mufaro's Beautiful Daughters by John Steptoe. In the Time of the Drums, very deeply, I've read to my grandchild by Kim L. Siegelson. Celeste Harlem Renaissance by Eleanor E. Tate. And Lullaby for a Black Mother, a poem by Langston Hughes. Now, come.
And I'm sorry, one more. Yeah, please. And yeah. We Are Water Protectors by Carol Lindstrom.
Thanks. So, you know, we're spending a lot of money buying books. You know, we're having a great, we got to have 10 of these, 7 of these, because we imagine you're the person who's saying, wait a minute, where's the cookies at? So, like my mother said, you can never run out of food. You're not allowed to ever run out of food. And you can't run out of books. So we're buying books for you. And what's cool about it is you can support us again by being a sponsor of Strategy and Soul Books. Right? And we'll tell you how to do that. Or just come and hang around but buy some books. That's the concept. And so I'm going to read you one section from my book, which is our bestseller. The two bestsellers. Well, we had Playbook for Progressives. We had Apartheid American City by Cynthia Hamilton. Wretch of the Earth. Women, Race, and Class by Angela Davis. So I'm going to read you one section from my book. Called Sings with the Choir but Finds Her Own Voice. This is about the struggle between collectivism and individualism.
What's the title of the book?
Oh, thank you, Jane. It's called Playbook for Progressives, the 16 Qualities of the Successful Organizer, an Art of War for Organizers Around the World. Buy 10 copies and pass them on by the late Mike Davis. The successful organizer begins by learning collective discipline, the strategic direction of the group, and the organizational culture in which they are situated. Without a clear plan, and everyone's allegiance to it, an organization can't move forward. That's the first thing. So we start with, are you a disciplined member? But there must also be room for originality and, yes, individuality. Otherwise, a rigid organizational culture can kill all creativity and excellence and prevent success. A successful organizer must be adept at negotiating this balance and projecting her own voice while singing with the choir. Now, when I teach the Organizing Exchange at the Strategy Center, I often use the example of Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers to illustrate the concept of Sings with the Choir and Finds Their Own Voice. The Jazz Messengers were one of the most impressive and formative so-called straight-ahead jazz ensembles from 1960s, 70s, and 80s, led by Art Blakey, the drummer. Their signature song was Mona. The number begins, and that's by Bobby Timmons, who wrote the book, wrote the song. The number begins with a haunting, soulful refrain that all five members of the quintet play in unison. That's the refrain. Right, bum, bum, ba, ba, da, da, ba, 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 ba. Keeps going. You got to get it. It's by Art Blakey. Also listened to it by Lambert Hendrickson Boss. It's amazing. Now, the song begins with all of them playing in unison. Then one by one, beginning with the great Lee Morgan on trumpet, followed by tenor saxman Benny Golson, and ending with the pianist and the song's composer, Bobby Timmons. They deliver brilliantly improvised solos and riffs off the main theme. Each solo is punctuated with drum rolls by Art Blakey, the percussionist and leader of the group. The entire melody is backed up by the rhythmic and harmonic anchor of bassist Jimmy Merritt. At the end of the song, Blakey brings the group together with another drum roll, and they return to the main theme, the reprieve, where they end in powerful, soulful harmony. They make a great choir, but each one is also a soloist finding his own voice. And I want to thank my friend Robin D.G. Kelly, who's an expert at jazz, and I ran this by him to make sure I had all the right words and phrases. So what I'm getting to is, I'm going to end with the thing. There are times when an entire organization knows it's on a roll, is in gear, attending its stride, is playing a great song in history. Great organizing has its transcendent moments when the entire organization is in harmony. Yet the individual solos take the group higher as key leaders and members get power and confidence for each other's artistry. The group agrees on the theme, on the main melody, on the foundation from which all its members will improvise. Then after the most creative and interpretive solos, they come back together and sing the same song with one voice so the system can feel the power of their unified force. Well, this is beautiful writing, Eric, and what I'm struck by is this writing was done by me. It was done by Leanne Hurstman, who's always my editor and partner. It was done by Daniel King, who was Daniel Kim, who was an organizer with the Strategy Center. And it was done by my editor, Joanna Green, at Beacon Press. So one thing about writing, I'll end by sort of saying this, is I am a really good writer, but I'm on about the 10th version of the preface to my book. And Leanne and I have just been working it and working it and working it. It's a lot of people, especially at Press National people, women go, I can't write. You're a great writer. I said, no, you can write. Nobody gets it right the first time. Don't worry about it. Just get it out. Write it down. And you see, where am I trying to go? And then it becomes self-revelatory, like, oh, my God. That was pretty arrogant. Or that was pretty self-effacing. That was too loud. That was too quiet. Oh, wait a minute. Why did I make that argument when the best argument was below, called burying the lead? Then I moved the lead up, but I lost the other thing. It's hard to write. And reading is one thing great about reading is it sort of teaches you how to write by listening. I mean, that whole C.L.R. James passage I want to read again and again. But I'm also struck by my own book, the beauty of the thought and the beauty of how hard I worked to convey the ultimate contradiction, which is you go in an organization to lose your individuality. That's what I hear you. You go in to lose your individuality, to become a group human being. Afterwards, you can refine it inside that context. So, Eric Mann, you're on Voices from the Front Lines. Channing, you'll take us out. You'll tell everybody what to do. And Channing, as always, it's great to work with you. And, you and I sing with the choir, but find our own voice.
Absolutely. As always, thanks for tuning in to Voices from the Front Lines. Wake up and smell the revolution. And today we woke up and read Revolutionary Text. We hope that you'll join us on April 20th and 21st at the LA Times Festival of Books at USC, Purple Booth Purple 241. As always, we want you to call 818-985-5735 to make sure shows like Voices from the Front Lines and Revolutionary shows on KPFK continue to be on air by giving a generous contribution. You can call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org. And if you'd like to listen to this show and share this show, and spoiler alert, we want you to share it with five folks, you can go right now to www.voicesfromthefrontlines.com or look for us on your favorite podcasting site. And I think you know the share button. It's universal now. Share it with your friends. And until next week, may all the power be with you.